A depleted Liverpool show their depth and take care of surging Leicester. Everton get back on track with a win over Fulham, and Tottenham Hotspur Football Club are top of the English Premier League for the first time since 2014. We down here in the Rat Tail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos Podcast.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Boys and Bolos Podcast. I am your host, Jarrett, with my co-host and belle of the ball, Jeff.
Nobody knows this, but I'm wearing a Spurs scarf.
Nobody knows this.
Nobody knows
it's an unknowable thing. It's a known unknown.
I'm wearing my Spurs scarf. I've got my kit, the green jersey on. It's a whole to-do. Check it out.
I'm putting a photo on Instagram now of this current situation.
Welcome back.
What do you call this garb? Is it called top of the table?
Oh, this is a top of the table garb right here.
When you're top of the table,
from
now on, when you're top of the table, you have to dress up.
You have to dress up. So this is the first time in 6 years Spurs is top of the table.
Oof. Celebrate.
It's a little dark because as a top six team, I feel like in the past couple of years, you should be at the top of the table like for one weekend at least. for Spurs fans to celebrate week nine, their top of the table is the sad state of affairs.
It's where we are.
It's where we are. 2020.
Life is in 2020. We're living life in hindsight. Right into the review. Chelsea, looking good, making me feel warm inside. Feel like the boys are back in town.
Yep, Chilwell played well, got an assist.
We were wrong about Chilweezy not playing because when we talked about that,
it was right after the international break.
Yeah, literally the next day they came out and they're like, all right, he just had back spasms and he was able to.
He's fine.
Medicate that away, I guess. So Chelsea won 2-0.
I will say, make a bold.
You're not one for bold statements.
I'm going to make a bold statement right now. Best left back in the league.
I don't think there are too many arguments with that.
I would say the only other one that's on the same level as Chilwell all around is Reguilon.
What about Robertson?
Yeah, Robertson's up there. Those three. A lot of people are saying Robertson best left back in the league after the performance yesterday, but Chilwell's very good. Very good player. Just steal from Leicester. Leicester still haven't really replaced him.
No, they haven't.
But I think Tammy Abraham played really well. Very impressed. He's fighting for a spot on that team, proving why he is the talent he is. So
I will say before we move on, Chelsea is the team, I hope you'll challenge this if you think differently, but I think Chelsea is the team that right now has the best academy players making the most difference week in and week out. Have guys like Tammy, Mason Mount, even Hudson-Odoi, who I still think that they should sell. Those guys coming off the bench and they're really balancing it out. Chelsea, I'd have to say, has the deepest depth, although after this, we're going to get into Liverpool. They're looking good because they're playing like D squad and they're still beating teams. So, but Chelsea look good. They beat a Newcastle team, which I think they should beat.
No Pulisic, no Havertz.
And they still looked clinical. The next game, however, was a surprise. We both picked Aston Villa to beat Brighton. This was an upset for the week.
I agree. I felt like Aston Villa did not really take Brighton very seriously and did not capitalize on some chances, and they lost the game. It's how it goes in the Premier League. It's how it goes.
That is totally how it goes in the Premier League. You can't sleep one week to the next. You need to be up and ready. I will say that this is becoming a thing with Villa. They're in seventh, right? They're a game out of fourth.
They have a game in hand.
All right, they're fine. I was going to say that maybe. I just think losing points to a team like Brighton that is at the bottom of the table is a banana peel. It's a slip up because I think that they should definitely get those points and continue to stay really competitive and actually be in fourth if they get those points because they would jump Leicester on goal differential.
This is a team that we expected to be relegated.
I predicted that they would be relegated. Yeah.
So they barely didn't get relegated last season. So for them to be even in the top 10 at this point, they're fine. I think we'll really see Villa's worth after this holiday run of games because it's nine games and before the new year. So
it's 9 games from right now.
Yeah.
Before the, right, because they have to get up to over 8, over yep. 9. They have to get to 19 games, and we're doing week 10.
Yep.
Jesus.
So they play a lot of games, and so we'll see how that shakes out. And I think you could say that about a lot of teams. We'll see how the table kind of, there's going to be much larger gaps, I think.
Yeah, it's tough with the top four to really have a serious conversation about title contenders until late January or early February. Especially definitely after February, you're going to know, because then some of the other teams that are going to be the better teams in the leagues are still going to be on multiple fronts, the FA Cup probably, the Champions League, and the league, and so they're going to have to balance those things out. Next game, Spursies took care of Pep. And there were some classic memes that came out of this little Jose meme, which I could make memes all day from Jose.
It's a classic Mourinho performance. Spurs had 34% possession and 2 shots on goal, 2 goals. I mean, that is impressive.
The Footy Emporium put it up, and it was like journalist, and it said, City had the ball for 90 minutes, more than 80%, and Mourinho said, they can take the ball home. I take 3 points.
I mean, it's true.
It's true. This is Mourinho soccer. This is Mourinho soccer.
But it's not just Mourinho soccer. This is kind of how,
it's kind of how
most
you beat
teams
City.
Are approaching City. It's like, you let them hold the ball, pass it around, and you just drop, you know, 8 guys back, basically, and make them play in that latter third and make them make a play. And they if they can't do it, which they can't, obviously, if they don't have Aguero and Sterling, you just counter. If you have Kane, Son, and Ndombele playing in the middle of the field with, you know, wingbacks and Bergwijn and Lo Celso running up
on the
wing.
I like how Bergwijn makes you smile.
Well,
it was hard for you to say confidently, and you got Bergwijn.
But either way, you got some speed on the counterattack. It doesn't matter what defense you have. I mean, their defense has improved, but you hit them with that counter, and guys who can finish the ball are going to put it away. Like,
having 22 shots, it's like, that's how many you see in like a hockey game. And then when you see out of those 22 that you only had 5 on target, and I'm assuming, and once again, I wasn't able to catch this game. I watched some of the highlights. But when I see the shot selection, they're just not good shots.
No.
They're just not good shots. And so it's much better to take more higher quality shots, I think, at some point, than to just take shots to take shots point. However, there's the other side where, yeah, when you go into the final third, it's really good that you make the ball go dead. So better to miss the goal than to have it rebound out and then they're on a counterattack. I don't know. I kind of just contradicted myself. I guess it's to say that when you see the 22 shots, it's kind of like, whoa. And then you realize that only 5 of them were on target. So
Lloris made a stood in his head a few times, twice. He made a couple good saves.
Yeah, he had a good game, and he had Lady Luck on his side. We talked about how City needed to win this more. They didn't do it. And the interesting thing that happened pre this game is that they signed Pep for a contract through 2023, which I found to be very interesting. Because many of the rumors I've heard is that City no longer want to deal with Messi in the offseason. They don't even want to do that again after this like pass Messi fiasco where they weren't able to get him, and it was kind of like a weird first date situation. He's also a year older, and at his age, every year is going to matter, even if you are Lionel Messi. I thought it was interesting that City tied him down, because the conversations I had been hearing out of Spain were rumblings about Pep going back to play with Messi, going back as a coach. And if he goes, he would obviously bring with him some big talent. Whoever that may be, I have zero idea. But you could see some guys out of the Premier League maybe going. There's even rumblings about Grealish going to Barcelona.
This is an interesting stat. I'll bring it up right now. Is that City only have 10 goals for, 11 goals against. Okay? 10 goals for, 11 goals against.
They have 10 goals for?
They only have 10 goals.
They have one more goal for than Arsenal.
Right. Nobody's talking about that. Guess how many goals Spurs have? 21 goals. Guess how many goals Liverpool have? 21 goals. Guess how many goals Chelsea have? 22 goals. What's the common denominator? Those teams that are scoring more goals are winning games. You can defend. Like, they only have 11 goals against. That's fine. That's good. That's good for a City team, right, at this point in the season. 11 goals against, 10 goals for. That's the problem. You need to score. Pep, that team can't score. They're in the same problem that Arsenal is in. And you know why they aren't scoring? It's because they don't have Aguero out there. And that's a problem, because he's old and he's getting to get hurt more. Even if he comes back, he's probably going to get hurt again during Christmas break. He's not young anymore. So what they need to do is sign an attacking player. Sterling sometimes has flashes of brilliance. He's a quality player. But we saw it last season. He shanks.
and he puts balls over the net, and he's not. Sometimes he just cannot finish in the final third.
We're starting to see the old Sterling.
Yeah,
the Liverpool Sterling. The pre-Pep Sterling.
And he didn't get selected for some games during the national team during the English. And it's, I mean, Gary Southgate's seeing the same thing that we're seeing. You know, if he's not going to put the ball in the back of the net, what's the point of putting him out there? He can run fast, whatever.
I often focus on the goal differential, and you brought up a really good thing about just looking at goals for, because I go through this, and the teams that have less goals for than City are Wolves, Arsenal, Burnley, Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield. Brighton has more goals for. Leeds has more goals for. Crystal Palace has more goals for. Fulham has 9 goals for. Yeah, they've given up 18, but they've scored 9 goals being Fulham. I'm sure like Fulham's starting lineup on the transfer market, and somebody can look this up and say I'm an idiot, is probably like $90 million.
Yeah.
City have players they could sell for $120 in a non-COVID market. One player.
Yep.
This is bad. City are in trouble.
Yeah, and so they're sitting in 13th right now. They have a game in, do they have a game in hand?
They have a game in hand.
They have a game in hand, so that's the caveat. But realistically, that's not a Pep team. That's not a place where you want to be with the amount of quality sitting in the top 6. Even Everton have scored 19 goals. I mean, they've given up 16. We'll get to Everton, but you're just too much of a hole. This is what happened last season. They showed some brilliance at the end after Project Restart. They played really well at the Project Restart, but there was too much of a gap between them and Liverpool to even make them a title contender. And now there's too much of a gap even from the top 4 to make them a title contender. And so if you're sitting in...
You don't think they're a title contender.
If you're in Sky Sports right now, if you're at Sky Sports and you're still saying that City is a title contender, you need to get off of your, like, City chub and get to reality.
You don't think City is a title contender?
Not anymore. Not anymore. Nope. They have too much... They have too many goals to make up.
They're 2 2/3 games back. They have a game in hand. So they're really 1 2/3 if you assume they win.
They're not a title contender. Not with this team. They bring in a forward, maybe. They bring in a big guy, maybe. I don't think they're a title contender with this team. They didn't show any... I mean, Torres, maybe if Torres comes into form, I don't know. He hasn't scored much in the Premier League. I mean, he can score in Champions League. Can't score in Premier League.
This is why I was surprised that City signed Pep through 2023. Because I don't think this season, like you're saying, I think they're still going to be in the top 2 or 3. But what, I just think it was a little premature to sign him through 2023. I think they're honestly worried about him leaving to Spain because there's been rumblings out of Spain that he was going to go back to basically keep Messi at Barcelona and bring on some people this summer. Even saying that City's not a title contender going into week 10, it still feels premature.
No.
Let's revisit it after the Christmas break.
Chelsea.
Better
Liverpool.
Team. Better team.
Spurs.
Leicester.
And Leicester. I'm sorry. There's too many good teams that are way more solid than City right now. City, you don't know what you're going to get when Aguero comes back. If they're able to make a big splash in the transfer market during January, maybe they can bring in somebody that's going to do it. It's just hard for me to say that. The bottom line is they would have scored more goals. They would have shown what they were previously as a high-firing City team by now. It's been 8 weeks, and
that's why I'm so surprised that City just penned Guardiola through 2023. Not saying that firing him, like we talk about firing, it doesn't always change everything. If you have the same ingredients, you know, your cupcakes can only get so good. But it really surprised me because I think that they may struggle this year. And as it is right now, the argument you're saying, which I don't think is too far off, if we just look at where we are now, they're going to struggle even getting Champions League the way it is now. However, let's also step back and realize they're really only a game and 2/3 back. It's not dire straits yet. But we need to go on because otherwise we're going to stay on this for days.
United West Brom?
Varchester United West Brom.
There was a lot of VAR decisions in this game. I thought West Brom got a little bit unlucky with a VAR handball in the box or a VAR non-call in the box that should have been a penalty for West Brom. I also saw a penalty in the box from a West Brom player, defender on a United player, and it was a grab of the shirt, blah, blah, blah. Either way, United got a penalty. Fernandez hop, skip, and a jump, put it away. Actually, he didn't on the first try. The goalie came off his line and he got to retake it.
Oh, Varchester United?
Varchester United got a favorable... It was... They got a goal. It did come off his line. Per the new rules, he gets to retake it, scored, and they won 1-0. Another pretty pedestrian performance from Manchester United. They beat a real bad West Brom team, but they got 3 points, so... Ole stays. He's still there. We were wrong. I was wrong. Jared, I don't know if you ever were really adamant about Ole leaving during the winter.
I thought that he would be gone. My prediction is that he'll be gone after the City game because I think City will embarrass him.
Okay.
And that will just be like an inner rival. Also, well, actually, can we go to the next game, the Everton-Fulham?
Sure, Everton bounced back.
Everton bounced back, and Fulham, honestly, like, they scored 2 goals. Like, that, for a team that's struggling at the bottom, being able to score goals is positive momentum forward, even if you're not winning those games. And as we were just looking at the goal differential, Calvert-Lewin for Everton has literally scored more goals or the same amount than, like, 6 or 7 teams right now in the Premier League.
Right.
He is on fire. I don't know how long he can continue this.
Well, if you have players like Digne and Richarlison and
James giving him the ball. I mean, James and Decore, he looks very good. I don't know if he stays at Everton. If he has like a 25-goal season, I mean, I just think he gets poached up by bigger money. But I guess we'll see what Everton are trying to do long term. This was a good win for Everton, though.
It was a bounce-back win after 2 losses. It was exactly what I said about Richarlison being on the field. He provides them with just like a stability in their offense. And they looked a lot better. And Fulham is a championship team. And they played like one, and they're heading back to the championship. There's no question in my mind that they are going back to the championship.
Really?
It is a little troubling for Everton, I think, that they still got 2 goals scored in them. Because it just shows that they're a little undisciplined when it comes to defending. I think a higher-level team would just go out and just get a clean sheet.
I think Everton's defense is the reason why they will not be in top four.
For sure.
That's it. Going forward, they look great, but they're always going to give up enough goals where they're going to drop games and drop points and have ties.
Yeah, because like a team like Chelsea or Spurs are just going to defend better against... I mean, they might give up a goal to Everton, just, you know, but it's not going to be a 3-goal...
The Spurs game, when you guys played them first game of the season, you lost 1-0. Tough call. On a set piece, tough call. There was some controversy there. Whatever, you lost the game. When you play them next, I think Spurs, and where their momentum is, it's going to be a phenomenal game. I do think Spurs will come out on top, though.
But it'll be like a 2-1 game.
Yeah. It will be a close game.
Yeah.
Sheffield-West Ham?
Again, I think I called Sheffield to... steal some points out of this game.
I think you said a tie.
I think I said a tie, and I feel like there are going to be some games like Sheffield and Fulham, and we saw today Burnley. They're going to steal 3 points from a team. They're going to get 3 points. They're going to win a game here and there. I thought Sheffield was going to get some points out of this. I mean, they're struggling real badly. I thought it was very evenly matched, this game. I watched the first half. I got bored because it was a real snoozer.
A snooze fest?
It was a real snooze fest. But, you know, West Ham got 3 points. And did you see the goal? Did you see
I saw the goal. It was a very nice goal.
Yeah.
Any goal outside the box is worth watching, and it was nice. He hit it well. It was in the middle of the park. He had a lot to shoot for, but he put it
50-50 possession.
Top bins. It was a close game.
Sheffield had 5 shots on goal. West Ham had 3.
9 total shots. I mean, it was a close game.
Very close game.
Sheffield looked good. Sheffield can take a lot of positives out of this moving forward, and when they play teams that are a little bit closer to them in the relegation battle, they should win.
I still don't think Sheffield is the worst team in the league.
Who do you think the worst team is? Fulham?
Fulham.
Are they at the bottom of the table right now?
No. They're in 18th.
Sheffield's
at
the bottom of the table. Sheffield has 1 point,
I know.
Dude.
I know. They've had some really bad luck. And luck's a bad word to use.
Luck's a bad word. Luck can happen on like a game-to-game basis, but we're starting to see a trend.
Them just losing?
Yeah, they have 1 point, my guy, in 9 games.
I know.
They've dropped 26 points.
Last year, when did they finish last year? Like 11th, 12th?
No, last year they were competitive all the way up until like the last 4 or 5 weeks when everyone finally got serious and Chelsea and United started actually playing soccer.
I'm not going to get too into Sheffield. I do think they're going to steal some points in these next 9 games.
McGoldrick.
They're losing games 1-0 primarily. They're not getting blown out. So I believe that they will steal a game here and there. Maybe they'll get out of, they'll get into 16th or 17th place by the new year.
Your optimism for some teams and optimism. Then your negativity
Blades,
for other teams.
Baby.
Blades, baby. They're going to finish 14th. Man City, baby. They're going 9th.
I said that Man City are not title contenders anymore. I didn't say that they wouldn't finish
like
top
that
four.
Is, okay, you know, we're not going to talk about that. We'll come back to that.
Leeds United, Arsenal. Oof.
Oof. This is the game. Well, I had a parlay going and I needed Leeds to win and they did not. And it was killer because when I watched the second half, I was able to catch the second half of this game. They hit the woodwork like four or five times. Like Rodrigo had this one. It was a cross. It was a ridiculous shot. Hit the post, like square to the post. Leeds should have won this game.
Yep.
Pepe, red card.
Bad. Headbutt foul.
Dude, Zinedine Zidane.
It was Zinedine Zidane, three game, possibly more suspension. Brutal.
My question with
Even
Pepe.
Even Arteta was like pissed.
Yeah, because my question with Pepe is like.
Call him out.
I think there's a bigger problem at Arsenal.
Yeah.
They look like they kind of know what they're doing, but I've just seen so many players go to that team over the last 4 or 5 years that are bought with such, oh, this guy's going to change the game. They get there and they die.
Yeah, you want to hear the newest rumor?
Let's hear the newest rumor.
Newest rumor, January transfer window. Who's going to Arsenal?
Oh, Eriksen.
Yep.
Eriksen. If Eriksen goes to Arsenal and does well, I'll be happy for him. Like, okay, it's good to see a footballer like find his place and do that, but Tottenham fans will hate him for like the hate will be
imagine
deep.
That
he has no soul if he does that.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
That's
next
the
level.
The Tottenham Arsenal rivalry
is big.
Deep.
It's real
it's
deep.
It's real deep.
And he'll just be like, Eriksen, whatever.
Yeah.
Please soccer.
The Spicoli of Denmark.
Whatever. It's cool, man. I just like playing.
I wanna follow Titi Henry.
It's true though. He will get a lot of hate and he'll be deserved. I won't feel sorry for him when he gets shit on.
The only thing worse than hate is pity. And you guys might give him pity because Arsenal's going to be so bad. He's not going to be able to turn that ship around.
No.
He's
can't.
Got Lacazette and Pepe. Pepe's headbutting people. Lacazette's out at the store buying like Cheetos. And Aubameyang's just like throwing money in the air on TikTok. That team's in trouble. Trouble.
Can't score goals.
Don't want to score goals. Mikel Arteta is freaking out.
Yeah, he's not a happy camper right now.
They look rough.
Yeah, they can defend pretty decently, though.
It's to be said, honestly, in the past, Arsenal struggled defending. I feel like they've been a sieve, but they'll score on the other end, so like they kind of make up for it. But as I put up, check out the meme, Instagram at Boys and Bullas. Heung Min Song has the same amount of goals as Arsenal through 9 games, and Calvert-Lewin has more goals. It's ridiculous. And what did you say? Bruno Fernandes has created more chances than Arsenal this
Bruno
season?
Bruno Fernandes, as in this beginning of the season.
As
one human being soccer player, has created more chances than the entire Arsenal team.
Is that including like all the academies?
Oh, yeah.
The women's
team,
too?
It's like including, yeah.
Everybody, including Arsenal.
Yeah,
the U12 kids not getting in the box. Liverpool, Leicester.
We were wrong about this game. Really wrong about this game.
Well, I thought that Vardy was going to show out and destroy and like hurt people.
I just thought that the injuries would actually matter.
Well, I thought the injuries would actually take shape. I didn't think Robertson would play.
Yeah, that as well. I didn't think Robertson was going to play.
And I thought Fabinho and Matip in the back would be a lot more exposed. They looked really good. You wouldn't have even known. Oh, they're missing Salah. Oh, they're missing Van Dijk. Oh, they're missing Trent Alexander-Arnold. Oh, they're missing Jordan Henderson. They dominated.
Yep.
They just never looked out of control. Even when they didn't have the ball, they looked very organized. They looked collected. The communication was good. Leicester was just not on their – they were not on their P's and Q's. I don't know whether that's
– I think there's a –
coming back from the international break, more players from Leicester went out. Like, Tielemans looked good when he was – other than the Anfield factor, which now there's 65 games unbeaten at Anfield, or 65 or – is that right?
64.
And that's ridiculous. When you think about that, that's ridiculous. Spanning seasons.
I think Leicester still haven't really replaced Chilwell. I think that's huge for them. I think Soyuncu being out was huge for them. I mean, he's been out the whole season pretty much now, but he's their best center back. There's not enough talk about how we know that Liverpool's good, right? We know that they have class, they have depth. Nobody's talking about how Leicester just kind of shit the bed. They just
I think they just missed
chance.
An opportunity. I think this is a tie at worst for them, not 3-0 loss. I just don't see how Jamie Vardy doesn't get on the score sheet. He's been looking good. He's been looking strong. The movement into the box. Senki's under will come in the last waning minutes of the game, and he'll get in a goal or an assist. Barnes looked like a wet noodle. Like, they just didn't look good. And maybe they were honestly surprised at how good Liverpool was. Because I think it was a combination of two things. I don't think Leicester showed up, and I think Liverpool showed up and were imperial from the first whistle.
I think that Liverpool probably saw, or Klopp saw, how much talk there was about how Liverpool wasn't going to be firing, and then he showed it to them, and they're like, well, fuck that. We're going to show up and just dominate.
Whatever he said got him going, because Diogo Jota, he is top scorer, not top scorer. He's in a top moment in Europe of all leagues. He's just like scoring at will. Whenever, you know, it's Champions League, Premier League,
right,
he just
place,
does it.
Right place, right time. Finishing is fantastic.
It should have been 4-0. Yeah. It was the goal that was, you know.
Yeah, it was like right.
It was a centimeter off. I mean, go see the VAR video. Yeah. It was ridiculous. So it could have been 4-0. Yep. It actually could have been more.
It could have been more.
Schmeichel had a lot of work to do, organizing the three back and just kind of keeping it together.
Yeah, Salah not being there, I thought, was going to reduce the number of chances they had, but they look fine.
I also thought Minamino would have gotten more time, but that didn't happen.
Really, it did not happen. We called that one. You also said, don't sleep on Mane.
Yep.
Didn't score, and he came out. So Mane was not the factor in that game. It was Firmino and Jota.
Mane's movement off the ball.
Yeah, I know.
It's tough to quantify in the
Firmino
analytics.
Firmino should have had two goals. Jota was creating problems all over the place. It wasn't, and they dominated the middle of the field. So it was not Mane. I'm putting it out there. Okay.
Don't sleep on Mane ever.
All right.
It's like a bumper sticker I should have.
Shh, fucking.
All right. Explicit. Burnley, Crystal Palace. The Burnley finally got a little dub. A little dub, dub, dub.
They played better. They're the better team.
They definitely outplayed them. We talked about how not having Saha was detrimental to Crystal Palace going forward. Just like Everton without Richarlison, it's just tough. It's tough to make up guys that are that good one-on-one, that create space, and that unbalanced defenses all over the field.
I said Burnley is the better team. I thought it was actually pretty well-balanced. I thought that Crystal Palace had a bunch of chances and just was missing Zaha to finish the ball. So him testing positive for COVID, very, like, I think today or yesterday, it was very recently.
I think it was like this morning.
This morning.
It must have
been
when he checked in. He had like a temp, or they swabbed him, and then he.
Oh, they do like 1,200 tests, and he was in that batch of tests.
Sure.
And that's not a good sign when you lose games to a bottom team because one player is out.
It's ominous for Crystal Palace at best.
I was watching, what was I listening to? Robbie Earle or somebody on NBC, and they were saying that this team, it feels like they are happy to finish mid-table or even like 12th, right? But with some of the talent they have in this team and like an okay defense, they should be trying to get like 8th. 7th, you know, maybe Europa League spot. But they're just not there. They're just not there right now. And if Zaha goes out, it's just Benteke is just not the answer for them. He's just not, he can't finish. You know, you got Jordan Ayew. He only works if Zaha's on the field. And it's just a classic.
Batshuayi is a horror show.
They're just a classic Crystal Palace team, right? They'll show up one week, look like they're going to, you know, do really well. They'll beat, like, Chelsea, you know, or they'll beat, like, Spurs, you know, it'll be like a derby, and they'll beat another London team, and then they'll come out and lay a goose egg on Burnley. And it's like, what is happening with this team? So that's why you can never rate.
Dave called this. We talked about this, and he put money on this. He's like, Burnley's going to win this. And I was like, all right. I didn't go in, and Dave knew. We'll get to Dave's picks. The last game was the game I thought was going to be the game of the week. Ended up 1-1. Kind of not the game of the week. I'll eat my words on that. But I think it was overall good for both teams. Southampton went to a tough place at Wolverhampton, and they got a point. And, I mean, Southampton tie, and they're still in fifth. Mm-hmm. They're looking nice. Very, very nice. Ralph's got to be happy with his team. I wonder just how long they can continue to stay at that level. I feel like by the end of the season, they're 10th or 11th, you know?
I'm saying 8th.
Will be their highest position.
Yeah, so they're going to finish 8th-ish. 10th is kind of harsh. There are a lot of good teams, though.
There's a lot of good teams, and City and United aren't even in the top 10 right now.
Which I don't...
Or Arsenal.
Oh, yeah, Arsenal won't be in the top 10. You heard them. You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first. The real Nostradamus. All right, let's look at the week coming up. We start our games. We got a game on Friday with the team we just looked at, Crystal Palace. Ooh, Crystal Palace, Newcastle. What do you think on this one?
Newcastle.
You're going Newcastle?
Yeah, I think they won't have Zaha again because it'll be still within the 10 days. So they're going to be...
It's at Selhurst. Depleted.
I think Callum Wilson will play this game, maybe.
Yeah, and they didn't have Saint-Maximin when they played Chelsea or Callum. So that was brutal for them going forward because they just didn't have those two guys.
I think they'll win 1-0. I don't think Crystal Palace can score.
Ooh, I'm going to go 1-1 tie. I don't like going ties, but I'm going to go tie.
I wish that Zaha was playing. He's on my fantasy team. I don't think I won fantasy this week because of that.
Oh, we'll get to fantasy. We know about your fantasy game.
Strong.
Jesus. Brighton, Liverpool.
Oh, God.
Liverpool should win this game handedly.
Let's just go on.
Move on. Ooh, Manchester Burnley. This is another banana peel for Manchester.
I'm going to say 1-1 tie.
I'm going 2-0 City.
Okay.
God. Ooh, Everton Leeds. Probably the game of the week, other than the other game of the week, which we'll get to on Sunday.
Everton Leeds, this is an interesting matchup because I thought Leeds got really unlucky not beating Arsenal. But they can't defend for shit. They're really bad defensively.
Leeds?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have some gaping holes.
And Everton can score.
2-2 tie.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say Everton's going to win 3-2.
Ooh.
I still think Everton is not a top four team.
I would like Everton win. I would like Bamford and Rodriguez to score. James, because they're on my fantasy team.
I make a Calvert-Lewin on my fantasy team.
Facts.
So
I have Calvert-Lewin too.
3-2. I'm just calling it as a
here comes
boys
your boys.
And
we're going to see how much you
analyst.
Stick up for the Blades, baby. West Brom, Sheffield.
I think Sheffield is going to get their first win of the season. This is a wooden spoon game. First win of the season. They're going to win 2-1. Sheffield's going to get their first win of the season.
I agree, 2-1.
Okay.
Ooh, Southampton, Varchester United.
Southampton's good.
Southampton is nice. They're playing very well.
James Ward-Prowse, free kick, goal, 1-0.
I feel like that's an easy out. That's like back in the day when somebody watched one Liverpool game, like, Gerrard's going to hit it from 40.
I think I'm just making a prediction. 1-0.
I hate that.
I actually think
Southampton 2-1.
I also think
I think United will score. I think United scores goals.
I think Southampton's more disciplined defensively than
United are dangerous going forward.
Correct.
I agree. So 2-1. I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to give United a goal, though. Dude, they're Varchester, all right? Bruno's literally hop-skipping and a-jumping somewhere in Manchester, practicing.
I was happy to see Mata play.
I'm always happy to see Mata play. I was happy.
Still, Van de Beek didn't start.
Oh, gee.
That's rough.
I don't even know if they like, give Van de Beek cleats.
Didn't even make the bench.
Ooh, the next two games are going to be fire for fire, man. Chelsea-Tottenham. What do you think, Jeff?
Chelsea-Tottenham. Where is this?
It's at the bridge.
At the bridge. Crosstown, baby. Crosstown. They don't have to travel very far, which is nice.
They're going to, Jose's going to make them walk all the way to the bridge.
Yeah, I hope so. Ride bikes.
Scooters, electric scooters. All the training staff, 40 people wearing Tottenham shit and running through.
I don't want to make a prediction. Can we just not make a prediction in this game? Do we have to make
a prediction? That's cool. Yeah, just not going to make a prediction.
I don't know.
Dude, you're dressed up like the bell of the ball. You're top of the table. Act like it. Make a prediction.
Make a prediction, baby. I'm going to say
Chelsea Tottenham for 300.
The big thing that happened this weekend was that Tottenham won, obviously, but also
I'm going to go 3-2 Chelsea. It's going to be a friggin' barn burner.
I do not think that's wildly out of the question. Because I'm a Spurs fan, I'm going to say 2-1 Spurs.
Oh, I'm going 3-2.
I'm going to say 2-1. And I say they're going to give up one goal because Toby Alderweireld got hurt, pulled an adductor muscle.
Ugh.
So we might see the first start by Joe Rodon, the Welshman. He played well for the last 10 minutes, but who knows what that really means.
Good luck against Chelsea's offense. There's like a bunch of kids who are like 5'8 that are 19 years old running around.
I know. And Pulisic could play. I think he's fit. He's getting more fit. He's been training.
Pulisic, Ziyech, Abraham.
Ziyech is fire, dude.
It's a nasty team. I think Chelsea 3-2 for sure. I honestly just hope that.
Here's the thing. Do you know how many people picked City to beat Spurs.
Probably 60% of the people.
Every analyst picked Spurs to lose that game. Yeah, but what I'm saying,
I just listen to you.
Well, I didn't pick. Did I pick a team to win?
No, because you're being a weirdo. You're going to pick a team or not.
I said Spurs 2-1.
You're like Switzerland in World War II.
I am not like Switzerland.
I refuse to take a side.
No, I just.
You okay? You say Spurs 2-1. I'm going Chelsea 3-2.
Yeah. Okay. I think not enough people are giving Spurs the amount of defensive credit that they deserve. They're a lot better defensively. I think Dyer.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
No, I think it's
you
true.
You can't even say it with a straight face. Say it with a straight face.
9 goals against.
It's good.
All right.
Arsenal Wolves.
Wolves.
2-0. 2-0-skis.
Is that the Molyneux or is it?
I think it might be at, yeah, it's at the Emirates.
The Emirates.
I'm going Wolves 2-0-ski.
Yeah, Arsenal can't score.
Arsenal can't score.
But I'm not giving Wolves 2 goals.
Raul Jimenez, dude.
Oh yeah, because he did a lot today.
Dude, he's gonna be playing against Arsenal.
Yeah, who are better defensively?
I don't care.
Okay, so Traore is a problem in this team. Adama doesn't look very good. He can run really fast, and then when he's just trying to sprint past everybody, and then when he does it, he does these wild crosses in the box that he doesn't even, with no accuracy, just hoping a prayer wherever that ball goes.
The getting into the box for Wolves isn't as dynamic as it used to be because Raul Jimenez used to do a lot of the near post runs. And Jota would do a late post or a middle of the box run, and they just don't have that anymore.
Have it.
They're not framing the box like they used to, so it's less dynamic.
I mean, like Podence and Raul, it's.
I'm going 2-0.
They're
Wolves.
They're better than Arsenal.
What's your prediction?
1-0.
Okay, fine. Leicester Fulham. Leicester will win this. Sorry, Fulham. I'm going to go Leicester 2-0.
I agree.
Ooh, West Ham Villa, the last game of Week 10.
I think Villa bounce back. I'm all about the bounce back. Villa bounce back. Grealish will dominate or something. I don't know.
Ollie Watkins on the double.
There was somebody on.
I'm gonna do 2-1. I'm going 2-1 Villa.
I think I got into a thing with somebody on Twitter this. Past
Why do
week.
You not know?
Because I try to block it out. All the social media interactions I have, I try to block
Are
out.
You like it's like a dark. It's like a
yeah.
Daily
you can't
PTSD.
Get like into it. It's like you get in your own head about it. So I think somebody said like how good Ollie Watkins was, and I was like, he's only good because he's got Grealish and Barkley. Like he's not that good, and like it's his first season in the Premier League. Let's like pump the brakes on Ollie Watkins a little bit. He's not like the second like coming of Jesus here, and like people didn't take kindly to that. Only Villa fans though. Everybody else was like, yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, he scored a lot in the Championship. That doesn't always translate. I know, if you're a big deal
guys.
In the MLS, you're probably not doing a lot in the Bundesliga.
Come on, guys.
Unless you're Alphonso Davies.
Let's pump the brakes on Ollie Watkins being like the next freaking Mo Salah.
You know, you just started a butterfly effect situation. He's going to score like 4 goals against Ham.
Great. Great. Villa wins. That's my prediction as well.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Dave's picks.
What do you get you?
Dave's picks. He also has Sheffield winning the wooden spoon match with West Brom. And that's a plus 180.
He does have Sheffield winning.
Yes, Sheffield winning. That's a plus 180. So I'm going to go.
I might
take that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then
one.
He has Leeds Everton over 2.5 goals in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's going to be a lot of goals. Goal fest. That's an easy one to call. There'll be 3 goals.
I was surprised that Everton like kind of let off the gas a little bit in this past game where they scored 3 goals in the first half. I was like, oh, bloodbath. But they just kind of sat back a little bit, which is fine. But they gave up a goal. So. Is that his only 2 picks?
Yeah, we just do 2 picks.
2 picks.
Just 2 picks. That's the quality.
So he picked over how many goals? 3.5?
He picked Sheffield, just money line over West Brom. And the Leeds-Everton is going to be over 2.5 goals. There will be 3 goals.
Oh,
it's 2-1,
sure.
1-2, easy. Yeah. Now let's go look at the fantasy where your boy's out of the basement. I went from 18th to 11th.
That's great.
Which is pretty good. And you went from 6th. To first, so we actually had this almost. I actually had more movement, but you went from 6th to first.
Wait, I went from first.
You're in second. You're in second, but you're 1 point behind. So I'll call it first.
It's pretty close.
So in the bottom, we got Graham's gang in the basement. Chahon, Warner Brothers, still waiting on that. Ooh, the coolest name I think in the entire fantasy league. Murder on Zidane's floor. Dennis, you are now in relegation.
What happens to the teams that are in the relegation spot at the end of the season?
They have to break their phones.
And send us a video.
Yeah. they have to turn on the video and then throw their phone off their nearest bridge and do it in live. So we kind of see it goes.
Well, they could upload the video to like iCloud and then load it, send it to us.
Yeah, we'll have a complete Zoom tutorial on how to do this.
Yes.
It will be like,
sorry, you've sacrificed your phone to the Boys and Bolos gods.
Yeah. Or you have to send the Bolos a jersey of your choice.
Ooh.
So we can put it in our museum of
spectacles. We're making up the rules right now on the fly.
Yeah, we're pretty, it could be anything.
It could be anything.
Shave a line down your head. Just shave a reverse mohawk for a week.
Or like shave an eyebrow off or something.
Yeah, it's dark. Graham's gang is, that's dark. Eric, you guys got to make some subs if you're at the bottom. I made some subs.
Yeah, we've been making moves. I've been making moves.
I've been making
all
moves.
How do you think I got from last to second?
You know a guy. I know a guy. All right, first, ooh, Los Bandoleros, Rodney in first. Love to see it. He got 76 points last week. Fire. Then Jeff with the Bunkers in number two. And Ozatik, another Chelsea fan. The not so special one up to third. Some notable falls from grace. Mac, anyone but Kepa, was in first. Now he's in ninth. Diego was in sixth with Shakaka. Shout out Ace Ventura. Now in 12th. And FC... No, I think that's it, yeah. I'm moving on up. Moving on up. You're not going to say anything. Jeff's deep in his fantasy right now. Or he's on Twitter in a fight.
No, you're in 11th. That's nice.
Yeah. You could say I'm like the Arsenal of the fantasy league.
I mean, BS United in fifth right now, scored 84 points this past week.
Yeah, Ankit killed the game.
Ankit, yep.
Dude, because he had Calvert-Lewin as his capitan, 26 pointies.
So I'm very pleased about the moves I've been making. I've been being really smart about my picks. I've been trying to stay informed, stay on top of it. And
the only way to win fantasy is to stay on top because you have to make subs and trades. Because otherwise you're going to start a guy. Like, I literally started Pulisic the first four games as captain because I was trying to be patriotic, but I'm an idiot.
Put you into the basement
because I'm an idiot.
I mean, I started Zaha today, and I look what happened. You never know. Well, COVID times. I want to share some news with everybody. If they didn't watch any of the games today, the Premier League has decided that fans will be allowed back into the stadiums. 4,000 fans, or about 30% of the stadium attendance, allowed attendance.
I think it's like the local attendance. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people. I mean, 4,000, and that's dropping the bucket for some of these stadiums.
4,000 in the theater of dreams, like in Old Trafford.
I mean,
like,
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 4,000 people. I mean, come on.
It's like,
that's silly.
Well, what is that? It's like one business box.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people, but
are they going to spread them out?
Yeah, they're going to spread them out. Because
that's kind of fun, though.
They're going to spread them out within that first...
The first tier?
The first tier, probably. I mean, have you been watching some of the Europa League or some of the Champions League?
I have. And the MLS.
Like the Russian... The
MLS
Russian,
has fans back now, too.
Yeah, and like the Russian leagues, they're allowing people. And it's like, you can sit with your... If you're like, you know, with your spouse or with the other person you bought a seat with, you sit with them next. But then you have to be like four or five chairs away from the next group.
We've discussed this at length by ourselves, but that makes complete sense. So you can go outside in a ballpark or in a stadium and watch a game. When you go to get your popcorn or whatever you're going to go get, beer, go to the bathroom, throw your mask on, just like you would as you've been living your life. I don't understand how England's been able to have the pubs and movie theaters open, but then they don't have these soccer
stadiums. You just wear your mask
stadiums
at all
it just
times.
Doesn't make
you,
sense
even while
me.
You're sitting there and watching the game, you just wear your mask.
There's just a bunch of anti-maskers in London and like in
it's
England
very similar.
It.
It's very similar to the Trump stuff happening here with the Conservatives and the Tories. It's really, 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 really fucked up. Like, anybody who lives in England who listens to the pod, get back at us. And if you want to, we'd love to have you on and just talk about it because it's fascinating because I think it's very parallel to what's happening in the U.S.
When does it start? Doesn't it start in March?
For what?
The fans going back. Is it December? I swore
No.
It was in March.
It's starting in like a week. So they already have a plan in place they've had a plan in place since April, May.
The interesting thing. Is what they're going to do with the sound for us over here, like when we watch NBC Sports. Because you have 4,000 people, it's going to be awkward. It's not loud enough to get, like, the chanting.
But you'll hear stuff. You're going to be able to hear.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to be able to definitely yell down and be like, hey, you suck, and they're actually going to be able to hear you.
Yeah, which I don't think will happen, but it'll be season ticket holders mostly, I think, that are going to be let back in.
That makes sense.
It's not going to be like, they're not going to open it up to like the supporters club in the corner. Like,
I assume that they're going to have the head check-ins, you know, with the little, they're going to put up your forehead and be able to.
I think their national health.
The NHS
will be is like conducting all of like the protocols and making sure that they're doing it the right way. I mean, it's in the Premier League. I don't know what's happening in the championship or the smaller clubs. I think there's like tiered, it's like a tiered kind of system about letting players back in per the size of your stadium, basically. If you can accommodate more like space, I think you're allowed more people into the stadium.
Which
that
makes
sense.
Perfect sense. It also skews towards bigger clubs.
And I think what they're going to do is they're going to scale up quickly. I think if they show that they can do it on a 4,000 person scale very successfully and have no issues, they're going to scale it to 8 to 12 to, you know, not full capacity, but enough where like, you know, there's actual fans there.
As fans of the Premier League, which we are, it will be good that they're starting to do that, because that will give us a leg up in certain Champions League games when we play against other countries. If they don't have fans in, it will give the Premier League teams, whether they're in the Europa or the Champions League, a more of a home field advantage.
Yeah, and I think a lot of like players want to play in front of their home field fans, whether there be 4,000 people or whether it be it's much more preferable to play in front of 4,000 home supporters than to play in front of nobody.
Anybody would be exciting. Someone cheering you on. Yeah. It must be at times really hard to kind of get
focused.
Excited. Get into it. You know, when you go out in Old Trafford and there's 80,000 people, like, holy
shit. It must
be
like just like playing in a youth league, like when we play at high school and when we played in high school.
A couple hundred people would show up, but. It must be really tough. Must be super tough.
So that's what I wanted to share. I think that's the biggest news of the weekend. And you
it's
know,
good news.
You know, Spurs being on top of the table.
You have your top of the table garb.
I do. I got my jersey.
Maybe you'll wear it next week, too.
It's possible. They'll be top four, at least. I mean, that's still something to celebrate.
Said the Spurs guy.
Hey, Europa on Thursday.
Hey!
Europa League on Thursday. With that, let's get out of here.
Ciao.
I prefer to be top of the league than to be second, third, or fourth. But it's not an obsession. It's not a problem for me. If tomorrow Leicester wins and goes top of the league, for me, it's not a problem at all. I just wanted to win my game, which is what we keep saying since the beginning of the season.
I spoke about Harry Kane on this show a month ago about this new role and this new number 10. Harry Kane, I think, is the most streetwise footballer in the Premier League by a long way. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And if anyone, after I've done this piece, tells me he's cheating or he's going down, it's not. It's a big part of the game and it's a really clever part of the game. He made Man City's defenders look really childish, naive, not understanding football. I thought it was just an outstanding play with the ball. But what he does for the team, when I watch him, I love it. And I admire it so much.
Is that an important element, Eddie, of having a successful team, that streetwise element that Jamie's talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. In a game like that where the scoreline is so delicate and, you know, one moment can change the game, Jamie's right, you want to slow the game down. You want to break it up as much as you can. And that's an art form. That's a centre-forward who's learned his art over many years, just getting the little things that can just sway a game your way.
Why, in your opinion, is that? Why has that suddenly become an issue for Manchester City, who were so free-scoring at times last season?
We are quite similar, the same, the previous seasons. When we scored more than 100 goals, of course, in the long period, we were without the strikers, but we cannot expect the strikers going to solve all the problems. So I think we create the chances. We have a counter-attack for the last pass, like we could not finish, and last control. And we could not score. So we're going to change. The moment's going to break some games. We're going to change.
Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.